jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm really pumped up this morning. Really excited about the show we're going to bring your way today. And before we get deep into it, I just got a couple house cleaning or whatever they say there. I got a couple things I got to clear up. Don't forget we have this the Salt and Light Brigade event this weekend starts out in Marshfield, Wisconsin, at the Rob Pugh's Wisconsin Christian Youth Center there in Marshfield. We're going to have a rally on Thursday night with, I'm going to be there. Greg Evenson's going to be there. Randy, my brain always goes dead on Randy. He's going to do some music for us, going to do a little bit of street activity. We'd love for you to come and join us there on Thursday night. Friday, we're doing a boot camp down in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We'd love to have you come and be part of that. That stuff is all on our website. Our boot camp's going to be a Friday and Saturday. We're going to have Matt Truella's going to speak. Coach Dave's going to speak. You think, yeah, my brain. I got so many things running through my brain. Peter LaBarbera is going to speak. Terry Fisher's going to speak. Possibly Jason Storms. We're going to have a great boot camp for you. And that stuff, that information also is all on our website. And if you're up in that Wisconsin area, I promise you it would be worth your time to come. Milwaukee, Chicago, what, an hour and a half from Chicago to Milwaukee, I think. Maybe not even that much, except you have to pay out of your teeth all those stinking tolls. But other than that, it'll be well worth your time. Jared, if we can, go to my Facebook page real quickly. Folks, I'm hurrying through this, not because it's not important, but because I want to keep as much time available for this show as possible today. In fact, this would be a great time for you to text one of your friends, say, hey, you got to turn on the coach. Turn him on now. Turn on coach now. You want to know the truth about GMOs. Or don't even say GMOs, because you could have told that to me and it wouldn't matter to me. You just got to text everybody, email your friends, say, tune into the coach. He's going to explain to us why everybody's so stupid. Maybe that'll get their attention. Well, I want to show you something here that, for those of you know, we're continually working down in Port Arthur. And I'm going to tip my hat to Dale Socia. I need more than a tip of the hat to Dale. I need more than that. The pictures you can see on your screen right now, Dale Socia yesterday filled 5 homes with drywall, insulation, nails, putty, whatever they call that stuff. Dale now has 5 homes with the supplies in the homes for Big Rich and our 8-man crew that's going to be down there beginning tomorrow, actually. Rich and those guys are going to be on the ground tomorrow. So they're not going to have to spend all their time running and getting drywall. The drywall's already in the buildings. Dale took it upon himself. Trailer broke down, but he went out and rented a trailer. And here's some pictures. You see the drywall being put in these homes. The drywall's already been ripped out. Just scroll through these, Jared. And these are some pictures Jared took yesterday Dale took yesterday of the supplies that is now in those homes. Look at that. Is this unbelievable? And Dale said it was amazing because when he pulled into the neighborhood, neighbors came out and helped unload the drywall. And all 5 of these homes are basically in the same neighborhood. And the funds that you sent to us has paid for all this, paid for all of this. These people are going to have their, 5 of them are going to have their homes restored the best that we're going to be able to do in a short period of time down there with these volunteers who are coming in from all across America to help. So those of you who wonder, I'm proud of the fact that the Salt and Light Brigade, under the guidance in Texas of Chad and Chad Estes and Dale and Chris Keys and those have been working down there. We've been after this for, this is our 9th consecutive week we've been down there. And we're moving from rescue to rehabilitation. And I should have brought the list down. Rich and Jim Bob and Rich, I can't remember your other buddy's name. It's going to go with us. Jim Kraft and Anthony Houston and
Jim Bob.
Craig. And no, Jim, he's bringing another one besides Jim
Mark.
Bob. And Mark and Ray LeBlanc. We got eight guys that are going to be down there restoring this place. And God bless them. We're picking up all their expenses. We think that that's the least we can do. And so every home we think is going to cost us about $2,000 in material. No labor. These guys are volunteering their labor. So I just salute all those guys. And that making the church look great again makes me proud. Makes me really, really proud. I said on yesterday's show that I want to lay a groundwork here, okay, and then we're going to dive into this. When we went to the boot camp up in Oroville, Ohio this weekend, sometimes you don't realize when the Lord has something for you. You think you're going for another reason and something else pops up. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It just happened to me last weekend when I was in Oroville, Ohio. As we're up there doing the boot camp, after the boot camp, I went out to lunch with my friend John Hartzler. John really helped underwrite what we were doing up there in the Oroville area. And John's very well known in the Oroville area, Worcester area, because of the Hartzler family farm. And the Hartzler, I guess I never really understood this. They are what you would call an organic farm. We hear these terms thrown around all the time. They don't really always mean anything to me. I would hear that their milk was organic, and all I knew was their milk was more expensive than everybody else. Well, it was more expensive than everybody else because, as I'm going to let John jump in here in a couple minutes when I show you, I'm going to show you a couple things here real quickly. They are unique in that they are non-GMO. Now, John, if I'm stumbling all over myself, you're going to get a chance to clear it up in a minute. Just hold your powder there if you can a second. Most of the milk that we drink is homogenized, pasteurized, GMO, meaning they are fed corn, wheat, whatever cows eat, they are fed stuff that isn't even really food. We're going to get into that here in a second. The Hartzler family dairy, they produce milk that is non-GMO, which means what? The cows eat real grain. Now, this came upon me, and I didn't, again, this has just been in the back of my head for 10 years, actually. When you plant a GMO grain, corn, if you go out in the average cornfield, you pick off some corn, you put it in the ground, my dad, when we used to plant our garden here in my house as a young kid, dad always kept some seeds for the next year. You ought to be able to grow some corn, keep a seed, put it in the ground, and it'll grow next year. GMO, genetically modified organisms, are not that way. So you could take a kernel of corn off of a GMO corn and put it in the ground the next year and it won't grow, if I understand it right, because it's genetically modified. Now, time out. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Just think about that. What if I said that you were genetically modified? You were. This is my daughter. She's genetically modified. Say, what does that mean that she's genetically modified? Well, we went in and we clipped out a little bit of this DNA and we put in some other DNA. And so even though she's my daughter, she's not really my daughter because she's been genetically modified. And you would have to agree that genetic modification sounds like a glamorous thing and a good thing because we could get rid of some diseases. We could, you know, we could go into the DNA and we could get rid of some stuff that might make you sick, some hereditary diseases. Sounds like a good thing until you really stop and think. Genetically altered. They call it modified. What's a better word than modified? Alter. Genetically changed. Genetically altered. And then ask yourself this. If you were to eat something that was genetically altered, genetically modified, would that have an impact on you? And think about all the chemicals that we ingest anyway. Well, you know, I think about how many people are on some type of medication and doctors put them on medication. I think about, oh my goodness, we could go to the chemtrails and the chemicals coming out of the chemtrails. We could go to the stuff in our drinking water and fluoride. We could go down all that rabbit trail. But I want to camp today on genetically modified organisms. And I'm going to start with something that's really kind of weird. Jared, the church, the first thing it says, bug chasing. Do you see it right there? Pull that up, Jared. And you start at the 8 minute and 40 second mark, but don't start until I'm ready. John, go get you in a second, I promise. This came to me. My eyes were really open this weekend because I've been asking for quite a while. Why are people so stupid? Why are we so easily led to believe just about anything that anybody tells? And more specific, how can the left be so stupid? So stupid. I posted a thing on my Facebook yesterday. Just asked a very, very simple question. And that question was this. If all governmental rights come from the people, can the people grant to the government a right they don't have? In other words, if I don't have the right to abort, if a woman doesn't have a right to abort her baby, government coming from the people, can the woman grant the right to kill her baby to the government? And of course, the answer to that would be no. We talk about science deniers and global warming and all this crazy stuff's going on. And I just got to ask myself, why are people so stupid? Now, I'm going to show you an example. Now, hey, I'm going to tell you this. I believe some of it is demonic. I believe some of it is programming. I believe it's from tinfoil hat guy, right? I believe some of it's from chemtrails. I believe some of it's from the food we ingest. I believe some of it is manipulation through computers and through television and through the movies. I believe there's a lot of factors that are going on. But when I got talking to my buddy John on Saturday, it's like my eyes went, wow, no one. Genetically modified organisms being eaten by humans. Does that have an impact? If you put a little bit of poison in you, you may not feel it at once. You keep putting poison in you every day, every day, every day, every day. You know, I had a piece of bread. I didn't. We were working with the bread man. I come home with some bread, and I'd always throw it on some of it on the ground for the dog to eat, and they loved it. And I came home with some of this special whole grain stuff, and I threw it on the ground. My dog wouldn't eat it. He wouldn't eat it. In fact, we threw some of it out in the yard just because it was getting stale, threw some of it out in the yard, and the birds wouldn't eat it. The birds wouldn't eat it. That's scratching my head. Now, you're going to think this is an odd clip, okay? But I want you to ask yourself, as you watch this, I want you to ask yourself how someone could get to the point where their mind is this depraved. Could they just be this depraved from living in American society, all the programming that's going on? This is about, are you ready? Bug chasing. You say, what's bug chasing? Homosexuals who go out purposely trying to get infected and infect others with HIV. This is unbelievable. You tell me how anybody could begin to think like this. Go ahead, Jared, play this.
Conversion parties in parts of the world where gay men would meet up with the intent of spreading and contracting HIV through anal penetration, thus being converted to HIV positive. This is sometimes referred to as being charged up, posed, zapped, and other euphemisms for being infected with a terribly painful and destructive infection that only the most insane person would want to have.
Didn't take long.
Said it here. Garbled really bad. Again, folks, don't everybody get mad at Jared. He's having, internet issues up where he is.
People had talked.
Here we go. Now he's got it running.
One person that sounded good to me about it on the phone line before I started hooking up with Positive Tops. And I told him he had to be negative, and he said, well, he's positive. And I said, well, you know, and I was still like, well, I guess maybe we could hook up, but, you know, you can't in me. And he would say, oh, but I want to. And then he said, sorry, it's hard. He would say, he goes, no, I'll charge you up. And that's just really hard to say.
Apologists will reply that this isn't normal behavior for homosexual men. But on average, homosexual males are not only far more promiscuous than straight people, but can have over 1,000 sexual partners, and sometimes much more. As you'd expect, this is snidely dismissed by apologists as impossible, when it's well known that sex parties are extremely popular in the gay scene. So rather than having one-on-one sex with over 1,000 sexual partners, which would indeed be a struggle,
don't lose the point here. What makes a guy this deranged
in orgy-like settings with many males? It's certainly not hard to see how such high numbers can be achieved under these circumstances, which also helps to explain why there's been such a rapid rise in cases of HIV, something that researchers have linked to behavior like this. As you can imagine, others have tried to suggest that this problem is improving, but I see little evidence for this other than a decrease from levels that skyrocketed since HIV reduced in the 90s. Also addressed in The Gift is the gay trend.
Jared, I want to get this other guy coming
without
up.
A condom other... called bareback.
Here, just let it go. It'll get there.
And this widely stigmatizes using protection. As well as this, it's taboo in gay circles to ask whether someone has HIV, leading to a policy called don't ask, don't tell, even at the kind of parties where sexual
craziness.
Interaction with many people in one night is
people
norm.
People are not logical. I know this is an extreme.
I've never officially been to a gift-giving or bug-chasing party.
Gift,
but I've been to barebacking parties, and they say specifically, don't ask status and don't tell status. And that's just the rule. If you do it, you're asked to leave. And really, they know that there are going to be bug chasers there. They know there are going to be chasers there.
Kimboy has rented the dungeon.
Okay, that's enough of it, Jared. That's enough of it. So, is part his? I guess here's the question. Oh, right wing watch is going to love this. Are genetically modified foods and chemtrails and the chemicals and the programming, is it taking away our ability to think and act rationally?
Can I say?
Okay, I'm going to bring. We got several experts in here. I didn't know this. Vince is big on GMOs. John Hartzler, Hartzler Family Dairy. John, come on in here and let's have a little bit of discussion of what you and I spoke about on Saturday. What's really going on in the GMO world?
First of all, Coach, I want to thank you for what you do here on this show. It's an absolute blessing to me, and you've been a blessing to me and the guys in the huddle. You got some great guys in there that have a lot of wisdom, and it's just been a blessing. I don't think there's anything else like this on the internet that I know of. So I just hats off to you, brother, for what you do. And we started back in 1964. My dad started bucking the trend of the conventional farming. He switched from conventional and went to the organic. And we farm with organic principles. We're not hooked up with the government. Certified programs that they have, just because we believe we're even different than the organic certification process. We are bucking the trend in the GMO because of what we believe the GMO has potential to do to everybody involved, from the
human beings to human beings,
from the animals to the human beings. I went and actually Don Huber, if you ever get a chance to hear him, he's a world-renowned professor from Purdue University, and is a bioterrorism expert. And he helped actually start to develop the GMO. And once he found out what the research was leading to, he did a 180. And so I got to meet him and talk to him, and while our eyes were really opened on what was going on with the GMO. At that time, we
John,
were.
Let me stop you right there a minute, John. So those, because I didn't understand this. A GMO is a genetically modified grain. We'll talk about that right. in a second. You use the term organic. We hear that thrown around a lot.
Right.
What's the difference, John, between organic and GMO?
GMO is an altering of the DNA. It's called another, it's not DNA in the plant world, but it's basically the same thing. They are taking and putting DNA of glyphosate, which is Roundup, and the DNA of a pesticide into the plant itself.
They are putting Roundup DNA and inserting that into right. the plant. Roundup would be poison, would it not, John?
Yes,
Roundup kills stuff. Kills stuff, right?
Yep.
So they're putting this round. They're putting this Roundup into the DNA of the grain, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Keep
so they
going,
can go out. So they can go out and spray glyphosate, which is Roundup, all over these plants, and it not hurt them. It'll kill everything but what's injected with in the DNA, which is glyphosate, in the plant itself.
Well, so it's very. Hey, John, I'm speaking for the slow learners with us here today. It's like they immunize the corn. They put
yep.
a vaccination in the corn that makes it so it is not impacted by the Roundup, right. and then they can go spray the Roundup and it will kill everything except that grain because it's been immunized against the Roundup, right?
Right. Yep. Now, organic is a process in which how you treat the soil. Conventional philosophy with using potash, nitrogen, and phosphorus gets to the point where that's all you're putting in the soil, and you're basically just feeding the plant. Organic principles are that we feed the soil, and the soil feeds the plant, and that's nature's way.
Say that again, John.
We feed the soil with different products, which in turn, the soil breaks down and goes through a process to convert it into energy and food for the plant.
So that's why, John, we would see some farmers would have this summer they plant corn. Next summer they plant soybeans. They would rotate their plant because they right. want to keep the nutrients within the soil.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, rotational is part of it because you want to stay away from some of the diseases, because if you just plant corn after corn after corn and your soil isn't healthy, you start developing diseases. So to help with that, we rotate our crops, and that way you're not burning up all your energy. See, corn takes a lot of nitrogen. Your beans don't take that much nitrogen. So you don't want to completely delete your soil from the ability for it to produce nitrogen. Now, soil. See, our molecular makeup, Coach, is the same as soil. It's biblically proven and it's scientifically proven. So everything that we're doing out in the soil is affecting us. A biblical principle is this: we reap what we sow. Our philosophy is we cannot spray death and destruction all over our agricultural land and our soil and think we're going to reap life. We can't do that. A biblical principle says we reap what we sow.
So they come along, John, they spray all this Roundup all throughout all those fields to kill off all the bugs and everything, and that stuff ends up in the soil, and it does yeah. more damage in the soil as well. And the crop yeah. is the crop is growing because it's been genetically modified to not be impacted by right. By the Roundup, right?
Okay. Well, one of the reasons I want to explain one of the reasons why they put a pesticide in the DNA, and that's for these guys to grow a crop and have a crop. Otherwise, the bugs would come in and eat it up, which is nature's way, which is God's way of having the bugs come eat it up so you and I or the animals don't eat it. If we have a healthy, if we have a healthy plant that's high in sugar, a healthy soil will raise a crop that's a plant that's high in sugar. A bug doesn't have a pancreas. It can't digest sugar, so it won't eat it.
Folks, think about that a minute. A bug does not have a pancreas. If the plant is healthy, high in sugar, a bug cannot eat it.
Yep, that's the, it's very simple. This is very basic. It's not hard to understand and figure out, because God's created it in a way that if we just work with what he has given us in nature, we can eliminate a lot of the problems that are going on. But see, what's happened is the farmers have farmed a certain way so long that they can no longer raise a healthy plant. And so they are enslaved now to the GMO and the sprays to be able to produce a plant so they have income.
So John, they get a seed specifically, unless they're out of company, they get a seed from Monsanto, and Monsanto yes. sells them the seed, and Monsanto also knows the problem with that seed. So then they sell them a spray that they have to spray on top of that seed to make that thing grow. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, they have to spray so the weeds don't come in and choke the plant out. They have to spray the weeds dead. A weed problem is an indicator of a unbalanced soil. You'll have a certain weed that'll grow that when it dies will replenish the very nutrient that soil needs. Let's say if we have a high population of foxtail, that's an indicator of a calcium deficiency. So that weed will grow, it's high in calcium, it will die, go back into the soil and replenish the soil and put the calcium back into the soil.
So nature reforms. Yeah. If nature's left alone, it will yes. grow something to replace what's missing in the soil.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And we've see what's going on now, Coach, today. They're enslaved to the sprays. They're enslaved to the GMO. And they have no recourse other than to break away from that. And it's very difficult to do that now.
Because, John, you told me on Saturday, the dirt... This will sound crazy, folks. The dirt is dead. The dirt's yes. dead. Right, John? It's dead.
The soil is it's dead. The only thing they're putting on potash, nitrogen, and phosphorus, and you're basically just putting on that to keep that plant alive. There's no life in that soil because they have killed everything in it. They've killed all the good microbes in the soil that work for us for free. I was telling you about what an earthworm, a nightcrawler does. A nightcrawler.
Listen to this, folks. Listen to this. This is nature, God's way at work. This is unbelievable. Listen to this. Go ahead, John.
A nightcrawler goes, a fishworm will eat through the soil, and it'll come up to the top, and it'll deposit the castings on top of the soil. Now, the soil that earthworm eats through is... it's got a lot of other micronutrients, but the main ones, it has 5 times higher in potash, 7 times higher in phosphorus, and 11 times higher in nitrogen. So if we have an earthworm, and that earthworm can produce that type of topsoil, it can produce a half a pound of that type of topsoil per year. So if you
an earthworm can produce a half a pound of topsoil, one earthworm
of perfect topsoil. And if you have a 300,000 of those earthworms per acre, and that's a low figure, they can produce 12 ton of topsoil per year, and they work for free.
Unbelievable. And what's happening to the earthworms, John?
They're either dead or dormant because we spray a pesticide on there that kills them. And the soil has to be healthy enough for that earthworm to come out of dormancy. So if that soil's sick, dead, that earthworm will go dormant.
Okay, hey, John. So act like you're me 2 weeks ago. Hey, John, what's that got to do with me, man? What's that got to do? I just eat the corn. What's that got to do with me?
Well, when I listened to Dr. Huber, he's a retired professor, and he said he's the only way he's able to tell us what he was telling us is because he was retired. He said, my colleagues can't tell you what I'm telling you. He said, they'll be fired on the spot. He said this. He said, history will write that we were willing to sacrifice our children and our very existence for a profit of a few. And this was a Christian, God-fearing man that didn't say things just to say them. He said them because he believed it and he meant it. When he said that, Coach, I leaned back in my chair. I said, Lord, now what do we do? Now what do we do? Because this is going to impact everybody. So some of the things he was talking about, and again, you can go on the internet and look him up, and there's many different areas that he's talked, different places he's talked.
What's his name, John? What's his name, John?
Don Huber. H-U-B-E-R. He is, like I said, a bioterrorist expert. He consults the government and the military on bioterrorism. So he is very well versed in what chemicals do to you.
Folks, bio-life terrorism. Bioterrorism. Right? Terrorism, yep. By messing with life. Bioterrorism. So, John, what does this have to do with me? How does a GMO corn, how does that impact? John, I don't eat field corn. I don't go after and eat that corn. How does that impact me?
He said there's a direct and indirect impact. Okay, a direct impact is that, let's say you had sweet corn and it was GMO, for instance. And you went out and you took that corn, you brought it in, started eating on it. That's a direct impact. He said the research that he's seeing in what's going on with direct impact is so much quicker. And there's a indirect impact, which is, let's say a cow eats it. The cow produces milk, or you eat the meat from the cow.
The cow eats it every day, John. The cow eats it every day.
And that's an indirect impact.
I drink the milk. I drink the milk. I ingest what the cow ate. I eat the hamburger. I ingest what the cow ate. You are what you eat.
And it's the indirect impact has the same effect, but it just takes longer.
You understand that, folks? You could eat it. You could eat some grain, GMO grain, and that's a direct. It may affect you sooner. But it's like the drip, 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 drip. It's like smoking a cigarette. They try to get us going with secondhand smoke, right? Well, this is secondhand GMO. Secondhand GMO. And if it's GMO in your cereal and GMO in your French fries and GMO in your potato chips and GMO in your milk and GMO in your hamburger and GMO in your chicken, GMO. If there's GMO everywhere, you are, in fact, ingesting poison.
Coach, one of the things he really hit on was the autism that's going on today.
Mm.
He said 40 years ago, and I think, and I'm quoting him, I believe I'm right, 40 years ago, autism was 1 in 15,000. It was 6 years ago that we went to his and met with him. At that time, it was 1 in 150, he said. And I heard the other day that autism is 1 in 67. He said one of the reasons that this has impact is that this GMO is fat soluble.
Oh my, talk about that, John. Fat soluble. That's mean. It means, folks, for those of you in Rio Lindo, as Rush would say, it means the it gets inside and stays inside the fat. Fat soluble means it gets sucked in and becomes part of the fat structure. So this stuff, this GMO, is fat soluble. Go ahead, John.
And what's going on is, see, a lot of this Enfamil, soy milk type of thing, these babies, these mothers are feeding this to their babies. And as the brain is developing, it's not, he claims it's not developing right because of what is going on in the GMO, in the DNA of the plant, and it's fat soluble getting into the brain, because the brain is fat, is a majority of it. I believe it's 70 to 80% of it's fat, and it requires a lot of fat to function. And he was very concerned about that, and that's why he made the statement he did, that history will write that we were willing to sacrifice our children and our very existence. You know, to me, autism is an epidemic.
It is. Well, and not only that, John, all the other, what about the dementia? What about Alzheimer's disease? What about all of this outbreak of all this stuff that we have going on? Is it possible? Listen, how about this? What if, in fact, ready, right wing watch? What if really ingesting these genetically modified organisms are causing something to happen to the sexual identity of children?
He claims that it has impact on reproduction as well.
Hey, Jared, pull up. Jared, get this video ready. It's the fourth one down. It says 4-minute GMO. Very good. I want to show this. Affecting a lot of things. Hey, John, there's a lot of things we're told that we shouldn't, you know, be careful with aspartame, be careful with tobacco, be careful with fluoride. But we're not hearing a whole lot about being careful with genetically modified, genetically altered, gene-altered food. Gene-altered food. And if you are looking to be get nutrition from a gene-altered food, you better ask yourself, what is this going to do to me? Is this going to have an impact? Jared, play this 4-minute clip here on genetically modified GMOs and the, and I think it's in the brain. Go ahead, Jared.
In the past, farming was as simple as this. The farmer replanted and harvested according to the natural cycle. However, recently things got a bit more complicated. Big machines and chemicals made their way into the fields, and intensive farming was born. Production boomed, but at the expense of nature. Farming became an environmentally damaging activity. It also became very lucrative for agrochemical companies who produce pesticides. Profits overtook the public interest. Seeking to constantly expand their bottom line, agrochemical companies began to play with GMOs, genetically modified organisms. But what is a GMO? It's an organism which has had an external gene artificially inserted to give it new properties. For example, corn. Here's the DNA that will be modified. Then you find the organism containing the new gene to be introduced. Animals, plants, bacteria, the spectrum of living organisms is wide. Not this one, not this one. Ah, this bacteria is just the one. We isolate the gene. We introduce the DNA into the corn, and there we go. This is called transgenetifying. With transgenetifying, the natural cycle is short-circuited. For thousands of years, seeds were produced naturally by plants. Now they're produced in laboratories. Today, there are two types of GMO made, those that produce their own pesticides and those that resist certain herbicides. But as a result of being exposed to them, weeds and insects develop a resistance to these products. They mutate. In order to get rid of them, you have to use higher doses of chemical products or different pesticides. On top of this, there's the risk of genetic contamination. Through unintended crossbreeding, GMO genes can modify the genetic code of other organisms. And that's not to mention the fact that there's no reliable study on the long-term impacts of GMOs on health. Big agrochemical companies are also trying to control seed distribution around the world. Patents are being granted on seeds and other life forms. If a farmer wants to replant, he would be obliged to repurchase seeds and the weed killer that goes with them, not to mention other pesticides. The exclusion from seed production makes the farmer totally dependent financially. The agrochemical multinationals are imposing GMOs on the planet. After the USA and South America, it's now the turn of Asia and Southern Africa. Once upon a time, farming looked something like this. Nowadays, fields look more like this. The polycultures and biodiversity of southern countries have been swallowed up by monocultures, with the sole aim of producing vegetable protein for mass animal husbandry in the industrial countries. Who now knows that most processed foods contain genetically modified soya, maize, or rape? And that the same GMOs also serve to feed the animals whose products we consume. Granted, in Europe it's compulsory to label food of vegetable origin, but not animal products. And this information is in any case in very small print. This lack of transparency prevents consumers from having a free choice. But being able to choose GMO-free products helps the development of local agriculture, encourages biodiversity, promotes the financial independence of farmers, and reduces the overwhelming power of the multinationals.
Follow the money. John, am I wrong? I'm going to open up the queue here. John, am I wrong in my understanding that an ear of corn, GMO ear of corn, if I take one of the kernels off of that GMO ear of corn and plant it in the ground, it will not reproduce? Is that true?
It will reproduce, but it will not produce much. The quality, I don't know what the quality will be, but it won't produce like the hybrid. The hybrid's more when the hybrids came in, kind of impacted that it won't produce as well. You won't have as much grain on the ear. But it will reproduce, but it won't produce nearly as much.
Mm. Somebody jump in here.
Hey, Coach. John.
Yeah, hey, Vince. Here's Hartzler Family Dairy is up on the screen right now. I got that chocolate milk. I'm going to have some when I walk out. I'm going to have some of that good organic chocolate milk. Go ahead, Vince.
There you go. Hey, so let me discuss two things. First is Terminator genes. That's what we're talking about the seeds. What they did is they destroyed the germination, the germination ability in the seed. So you'll plant it and it won't germinate. That's so they can control the crop. They make you buy seeds every year. It's ridiculous, right? It's against what farmers have done for millennia. Now there's also chelation. Let me mention chelation before we go on, because chelation is what we were talking about. Examine chelation as you holding a nickel in your hand. If you have the nickel in your fist, you can't spend it. That's exactly what chelation does. Chelation keeps the nutrients from everything. It keeps it from insects, and it keeps it from us.
Right.
So yeah. You've got a grain that has no nutritional value to it. That's what we're eating, right, John? It's not even food.
Right. Yeah. There's very little nutrient uptake because there's no nutrition there.
Right.
For that plant to uptake.
Folks, have you noticed? Sorry, John. Have you noticed how fat people are? Have you noticed that? I mean, you walk into Walmart, you just walk into anywhere and you look around. I see more and more people sitting on these electric carts when they go shopping. We didn't even have those a generation ago. What is going on that people are so stinking fat? Is it simply they don't exercise? Well, that could be part of it, but is it possible that there's something in the food that we're eating that is causing the body to respond in an unnatural way?
I would call the whole thing a cytokine storm. you know, the high fructose corn syrup, I believe, is processed by using mercury. And so mercury, of course, is a neurotoxin. And if we're ingesting high fructose corn syrup, we're getting it, we're having a cytokine storm.
Mm-hmm.
But John, you're also alleging, not alleged, is a big problem. The big problem is our soil's no good. Our soil's no good. And John, right now today, if somebody who's been some farmer, like I drive out here, we live out here in Ohio, out in the cornfield country. Folks, I'm telling you, those cornfields go for miles. They go for miles out here. You just can't believe it. And John, I ask you on Saturday, if we were to begin today to restore this ground, how long would it take for that ground to be nutritionally capable of producing what we would want it to produce?
That's a good question. It depends on what soil type you have, but rule of thumb is 5 to 7 years.
Let me also throw in that if you use hemp will actually revitalize the soil. So that's something we need to do.
Yeah, we do some of that. We help conventional farmers transition back into the organic, but it's a long process,
right?
And it takes time. But you know, Coach, going back to even scripture, you know, today we farm in a mentality that we want it as easy as we can as possibly do it. And so we plant a crop out there, go out, spray it. We don't touch it until we go harvest it. You know, scripture goes back to, at least to me, it goes back to Matthew chapter 7, where it talks about wide and broad is the road that you, it's easy. It's easy to go down that road. Farming organically is difficult. It's more difficult. You have to have more management. There's more time spent in managing the fields, doing soil samples, keeping nutrition up in your soils. So it's a lot more difficult to organic farm than it is to conventional farm, because you,
and John, not only that, the idea of the family farm is disappearing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of our concerns. And right now we're trying to develop markets for the non-GMO. And it's a very difficult process, because you have to, first of all, you have to have infrastructure to manage that. You have to have feed mills that are willing to segregate their products. You have to verify seed companies to get seed that's verified so these guys can grow it. It's a long, hard process to go through, but we have to do something to save the family farms. And so we are taking the lead in developing GMO markets. The consumer is going to demand it, I believe. And I think that's going to be one of the things that really starts pushing the non-GMO, because the consumer is getting educated.
And not only that, John, folks, think about this now. Genetically modified organisms. I'm 64 years old. I don't know how long GMO has been around. What, 20 years, 30 years, really, maybe, right?
Well, 15 to 20.
From the 90s.
From the 90s. I've been eating this stuff now for 30 years, and I really haven't shown much of an impact. But my children have been eating it for 30 years as well, and now they have passed those, they've reproduced those genes down into their children. At some point, are we going to wake up two generations from now and look around and say, oh my goodness, look what this genetically modified food has done to our children? That's why if you go to Hartzler Dairy, you're going to find the milk is more expensive. Well, why is the milk more expensive? John, explain to me, tell them real quickly, what homogenization does. You explained that to me, and that just blew me away as well.
Yeah, homogenization is destroying of the fat molecule. It's what happens is they run it through a machine that has high pressure, and it's got real fine screens in it, and it actually destroys the fat molecule to the point where it won't even cling to itself. You won't have a cream top on your milk. Normally, in a natural state, you will have a cream top. The cream will rise to the top. It'll cling to each other. And what happens is, and you can look this up, Dr. Oster did all the research on this. What happens is that fat molecule is destroyed to the point where your body does not even digest it. It goes under your bloodstream undigested.
You're just drinking water. Water that looks like milk.
Well, it's actually worse. It can cause problems in the body from having that not being able to digest that and going in directly in the bloodstream. Where when it's in its natural state, your body can digest it, and then it's in a useful state, and then your body can use it.
Right. Can I throw in a quick point also about fat?
Please do, Vince. Please.
I've consulted with Stephanie Seneff. I'm sure, John, you're familiar with the name. And she discovered, along with Anthony Samso, that fat is a major component of your brain cells.
Absolutely.
Right. And so in the 70s, they had these Harvard students that they paid to promote sugar over fat. And so now we've gotten all this fat free food, and it's making everyone stupid because no one's getting food for their brain.
Folks, come on, folks. Huh? That's Psalm 2. That's the kings of this world have conspired against the Lord and his anointed. And Larry said before the show started, when we were talking about this, follow the money. Follow the money. That's why it's interesting, because when I was up where John lives, up around the Worcester area of Ohio, there's a lot of Amish. Buggies everywhere. John, they're not GMO in it, are they? They're not. They're producing organic stuff.
Some of them are. Some of them are going down that road. And they're starting to see and understand that that's not the way to go. One of the other things I want to bring out, and was Dr. Don Huber talked about, is the effect that GMO has on the stomach. He said it has a huge impact on the stomach. Now, our stomach and our brains have a huge relationship. However healthy our stomachs are, that's as healthy as our brains are. So when he was talking about all this, I had found out later the connection between our stomachs and our brains. And he was saying we got cauliflower bacteria in our stomach. And what he was saying is that this GMO, in the research that he did, and I'm just quoting him, that it will turn that cauliflower into a pesticide, or a parasite.
Jared, GMOs in the brain, the next to the last one. It's another 4-minute video. Folks, you gotta see this. Listen, I'm not trying to do fear porn. I'm just trying to say, I'm trying to connect some dots here. Watch this. How GMOs affect your brain. This is a 4-minute clip as well.
March 23rd, 2014, on a Sunday, it's 10:25 a.m. Pacific time. And up next, this is how GMOs damage your brain. This is by Sayer G of Green Med Info. It's dated March 21st, 2014. A new study reveals a hitherto unknown mechanism behind how the world's most popular GMO herbicides harms the brain. Remarkably, despite Roundup herbicide's widespread approval around the world, the most basic mechanisms through which it exerts toxicity towards non-target animal species, including humans, have yet to be adequately characterized. Concerns about Brazil's status as the largest global consumer of pesticides since 2008, researchers sought to elucidate toxicologic effects of these agrochemicals in humans. And there on the left, you see a tomato with mold. Roundup-induced glutamate exotoxicity appears to share similar effects to monosodium glutamate, MSG, and aspartame-linked exisotoxicity.
Okay, cut that off, Jared. Folks, I just want you to just look at that. Imagine that in your mind. Your brain now has a mold or a fungus that is being grown on it as a result of the fact that we are consuming Roundup. John, what is Roundup? What is it really?
Roundup is, in the chemical terms, is called glyphosate. That's the term they use for the Roundup product.
And what is glyphosate?
Glyphosate's just a herbicide.
The poison.
That kills weeds.
And John,
is it not a neurological inhibitor?
Pardon me?
Is it not a neurological inhibitor as well?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's one of the points that we're making, right? It could be autism. It could be dementia. It could be all of these other things. Now, folks, follow the money. Do you believe that anybody, the Food and Drug Administration, you pick whoever it is, that all of a sudden they're now going to come out and say, whoa, folks, whoa, we were wrong here about GMOs. We were wrong about them. Let's all go back and let's do it the way we – does anybody think that that's going to happen?
You mean Michael Taylor, who used to work with Monsanto? Yeah. Good luck.
So, John, no. Just a couple minutes left here, John.
Yeah.
What's the solution? What's the answer here for what do we do?
I don't know, Coach. The only thing I can say is we have to do whatever we can do to help the farmers understand what's going on and what they're doing is not the right way, but to change somebody's mind in that. See, they have to have a change of mind, a change of heart. And
I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to eating this grain, but be you transformed into good farming by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, scientific advancements are not always good. They're not always good.
Exactly. How about pigs being born with both sets of sexual organs after eating GMOs? Does that sound like something healthy?
So, Vince, you know, I'm not an expert in this thing, but could this outbreak of what we see with transgenderism and all, could some of this be happening as a result of the genetic modification of the food that we are eating?
That's absolutely possible.
Can I say something?
And more likely probable.
Please do. Yeah, please do.
As a suggestion of cleaning soil, Chernobyl was doing tests on hemp in order to clean radiation out of the soil. I don't know, but maybe it could help with all this stuff that's going on with our soil due to GMOs.
Well, good point. But John, the truth of it is, for a farmer in Worcester, Ohio, who's farming 150 acres, for him to all of a sudden go back to organic farming, yeah. Brother, that is, he ain't prepared to be able to do that, is he?
That's so true. That's so true, Coach. That's one of the problems now, is that to be able to transition back is so difficult because of the dependency now that they have to depend on the pesticides, the herbicides, the chemicals that they use to pull. It's kind of like drugs, kind of like being on drugs.
Exactly. Perfect analogy.
And to be able to come off drugs, it's a step process. And you have to do it slowly. And it takes a long time. It's a long process, and you have to be financially ready for the consequences of that, because you're not going to have the production initially when you start weaning yourself off of it. And you're going to have weed pressure, and you're going to have different things like that that impact production.
And the Hartzler family dairy is organic, folks. The milk they produce is organic, non-GMO grain goes into their cows, which produces real milk. John, that's
real
the
food.
Wave of,
that's right.
That's the wave of the future. If we can awaken people to understand what's going on, right?
Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah, you know, I've ingested a lot of what has been said here this morning. And there's a whole lot to think about and to ponder, and there's a lot of logical connections made in what's been presented. However, one point that was just said a minute ago that I have to bring to the attention of the huddle and those listening, drugs does not take a step program to get off of. See, I serve a Jesus Christ who delivered me.
Amen.
He didn't recover.
No, I believe that. Larry, you're right. That's a good point. I believe that. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks.
Hey, I have a question. Hey, John.
Hey. Yep. Go ahead.
Well, quickly, John. So if we go to the market, if we just buy organically labeled items, does that mean they're non-GMO?
No, that's a good point.
Great
that's a good
question.
Point.
Great
Excellent
question.
Point.
Great question.
Organic is a philosophy. GMO, non-GMO verified, is a tested process. You can have GMO in organic and not know it. Now, they are starting to do some testing. But yeah, that's an excellent point. You can get drift from other pollen drift from other crops nearby that can impact the organic. So yeah, a good point. Good question.
So John, what's the marker? What are they looking for when they're looking for food?
They're looking for, there's two different markets. There's non-GMO market and there's an organic market. And we're trying to bring them both together and have them both. But non-GMO
organic does not mean non-GMO.
No.
It doesn't mean that. No.
It's a philosophy of farming practices. And it's good, but it can be impacted by, like I said, from pollen drift from other fields. Especially the hay, which is had just been released, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, the GMO hay.
Ugh.
When Dr. Don Huber said if that was going to be released, there's no stopping that.
Right, wow. Because the way it can spread, yeah.
Because it's folks, pollinated by bees.
We're out of time, John. Man, you've opened our eyes. Folks, just two things that pop into my head. Number one, better pray over your food. Number two, the scripture says that you can eat any deadly thing and it will not harm you. Isn't that what it says? And so we pray the covering of the Lord over everything that we eat. However, you cannot tempt the Lord and continue to eat poison and think he's going to deliver you from something that you know is poisonous. I'm not trying to scare anybody here today, but don't ever forget, baby, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. As John said, you reap what you sow. Thank you, John Hartzler, Hartzler Family Dairy.
Thanks, Coach.
God bless you, folks. Pray hard over that food. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.